resourcefulness, self-reliance. Many people who live in the mountains cherish and self-identify with these values. But could we sustain ourselves, really? As part of an occasional series, Wild Wandering West Virginia, Lana Lester of Wyoming County submitted her question to the Inside Appalachia team, could West Virginia be self-sustaining? She said she's always had the feeling that God blessed West Virginia with all of our natural resources and that we have everything there in the state to survive. Well, Lana, our listeners voted, and your question won the latest round. So, could we survive on our own? And what would that really look like? Roxy Todd set out to try to find some answers.
I began the search outside Keller Survival Shop, which is located in Kanawha County in a suburb of Charleston, West Virginia. I'm greeted by a herd of miniature goats.
Brownie, get down.
Bob Keller, the owner of this shop, is wearing a forest green fleece and khaki pants. He says these goats are mostly pets, but if needed, they could provide his family with goat milk.
They're the smallest, but they have the highest butter fat content of any of the dairy goats. They breed, they give birth, they produce milk. And as long as you continue to milk them, they'll continue to produce milk.
Goats can also provide meat. Raising goats is just one way people with a small plot of land could be more self-sufficient, Keller says.
People really don't realize, you know, if you took a, you know, even a 10 by 20 spot in the yard at home, how much food that spot would create.
We're inside his survivalist shop now, where he sells dried food that has a long shelf life and water purification materials.
There are people that are, I would say, that I know locally that are in the 90-some percent self-reliant.
Some of these people Keller knows might be called doomsday preppers, a subgenre of folks who prepare their home to be able to survive on their own in case of a catastrophic event. But Keller says he sees all ranges of people in his store who are interested in learning to survive without having to go to the store.
My business in general is going up rapidly.
Beyond his own business, he sees other signs that more people seem to have an interest in self-reliance.
I mean, even our elementary schools are putting in gardens, right, to teach kids where food comes from. Because the kids don't know where food comes from.
This lack of knowledge and skills make people pretty vulnerable compared to our grandparents or great-grandparents, Keller says. Things like canning, growing food, carpentry, basic mechanics. There is a lot that our West Virginia ancestors understood that we lost.
I think it's a product of 21st century America. We were sold this approach growing up that, well, if there's a problem, go buy the solution.
But Keller says he thinks people in West Virginia have retained a lot of these skills and knowledge.
You go to rural areas, and those self-sustaining skills and activities are still alive and well. And so when you look at less densely populated states, you have a lot of this activity going on.
But it's not only West Virginians who are interested in learning to be more self-reliant. A survey commissioned by the economic analysis website Finder.com found that in 2018, one in four American adults spent up to $2,000 on home renovations to prepare for emergencies. Millennials actually spent the most on survivalist gear. But does that mean that younger people are more prepared, or are they just shopping as a way to compensate for a lack of hands-on know-how?
Now we have Amazon that can deliver things in a day. So are our children going to be more prepared or less prepared, do you think?
You're seeing a split. You're seeing some people who are raising their children to be self-reliant, and you're seeing some people who aren't self-reliant themselves. Of course, they're not raising their children that way.
But what would it really mean to be self-sustaining? Not just individually, but as a state. Like, what if West Virginia broke away from the rest of the country? Or what if a natural or geopolitical disaster suddenly forced us to make it entirely on our own, cut away from the rest of the country or the world? No importing, no exporting, producing everything ourselves. I sent her question over to economist John Deskins at West Virginia University to get his take.
What was going through my mind? To be honest, I was thinking, ooh, this is a bad idea. If you want my honest opinion.
On a personal level, Deskins says he gets why this might be appealing.
But if you want to harvest a deer from your backyard, or if you want to grow your own tomatoes and cucumbers in your backyard, you may be able to do that better than the ones we import from California or wherever. I'd much rather get a backyard tomato than one from the grocery myself. But people are free to do that.
As an economist, Deskins thinks it would be disastrous if we force people to buy things that are made locally. Trade is just more efficient, he says, than producing everything ourselves.
You know, if everyone's just going it alone, then you don't really have the opportunity to be really good at something and to capitalize upon your kind of special talent.
Currently, West Virginia is pretty self-sufficient when it comes to our electricity. About 92% comes from coal that we mine right here in the state. Of course, the grid we pull from is a regional grid, so it's possible the electrons you're using right now were not produced by coal. And setting up a new grid that is independent of the rest of the country would take a lot of time and work. But it's possible. It's a long-term goal, if we continue to mine coal. Apart from our electricity, though, West Virginia is not so poised to be self-sufficient. We import roughly $3.4 million worth of goods from out of the country. Mechanical products are at the top of the list. Incidentally, a lot of our imports include airplane parts, so we could likely do without those if we were just trying to survive on our own. But when it comes to what we would eat, well, the picture is a lot more bleak. Despite Bob Keller's optimism that we could grow a lot of our own food in a 10 by 20 plot in our yard, plus some milk-producing goats, currently, West Virginians produce just 1/7 what we consume when it comes to food. So we need to support and incentivize farming. And we'd have to do without a lot of foods that just don't grow well here, like lemons and chocolate and coffee. Not to mention a lot of other things that use raw materials that we just don't have in West Virginia, like cell phones or EKG machines. And doing without these things, argues economist John Deskins, means we'd have a lower quality of life.
Well, I'm saying you have two extremes. One extreme is where individual households are self-sufficient, right? That is an extreme system. That's like a caveman-type system. And then the other end of the stream is a purely global economy where we have specialization across the entire world. We have a huge amount of specialization and trade on a grand scheme.
In the middle of these two extremes, though, Deskins says he could imagine a world where we're still importing and exporting some things, but still producing more stuff and growing more food in state.
It's better than no specialization at all, but it's not fully capitalizing upon the high level of specialization that we have in a global economy.
Even as a champion of an economic free market, Deskins admits there would be some benefits to being more self-sustaining.
If we were self-sufficient and if we just bought from other parts of West Virginia, it would greatly reduce the transportation cost. It would reduce the fuel, other expenses associated with moving goods, and there might be some environmental benefit associated with that.
It would also be easier to keep a closer eye on health and safety standards. Still, bottom line, if we want our economy to be strong, global trade is essential. But here's something economists like Deskins don't measure when they talk about quality of life. I don't know about you, but I like to buy and use things when I know the person who made it. I would personally pay more money for a chair made by my neighbor than one I buy online that comes from China. Same with my food. I like the idea of learning to grow my own corn and taking it to my neighbor to grind it into cornmeal. Maybe even learning to survive with less.
You know, I see a West Virginia that really uses nature as a driver of economic growth.
This is Beth Wheatley, director of the West Virginia Nature Conservancy. We're standing atop a ridgeline in Mingo County. In every direction are mountains. Some are thick with forests. Others are stripped to rubble and rock.
Mountains over here to our east. The leaves have fallen off of the trees. Over here, we're looking at a flat landscape, but still completely surrounded by forest on most sides. And this is very typical of many sites in West Virginia where you have former coal mine lands surrounded by intact forest.
Wheatley's brought me here to see this view because she says it shows two radically different types of landscapes. Both are abundant here in central Appalachia, and both have potential to help people in West Virginia be more self-sufficient, says Wheatley.
There is so much that we can produce ourselves.
And the self-reliance doesn't necessarily have to come from manufacturing or coal. She and others at the Nature Conservancy are working to find more ways that forested land can earn West Virginians money. As for all the acres of land that have previously been strip mined, Wheatley says she envisions a future where solar farms are producing energy.
It's virtually the perfect site for solar development because it's relatively flat, because of transmission lines and access. We have the sun at our disposal. We have hundreds of thousands of former mine lands at our disposal, and many owners of those lands very interested in solar development.
Several years ago, the Nature Conservancy conducted a listening project across West Virginia. In addition to economic opportunities, many people told Wheatley they value living amidst so much nature.
And I remember one person saying that, you know, that she doesn't see it as something separate from us, but it's part of who West Virginians are. It's in our blood. And that really gives us the grit and determination and connection to the land to really work together to grow nature-friendly economic development activities in the state going into the future. I think we can have it all.
And some people are making a go at having it all.
They built a life that was all their own.
It looks beautiful, Pat.
They found peace.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Absolutely beautiful.
In the stunning beauty of the wilderness.
This is from a trailer to a film from the 70s called The Wilderness Family.
Now they will be tested in ways they never imagined.
It's the story of a family who escaped the traffic and city life of Los Angeles to build a cabin and settle in the wilderness. Ed Klein says this film inspired him to move his family to West Virginia and live off the land. They were in Brooklyn at the time.
Believe it or not, when they moved here, they lived in a tent. There was no houses up here. It was all brush and growed up. They lived in a tent.
This is Klein's new wife, Dana. His first wife left, as did his kids. But Klein stayed. From that first year in 1978, living in a tent, today he has an enormous three-story cabin that he designed and built himself, back in the rugged hills of Wetzel County. He has his own wood shop and a greenhouse, though neither are being used much these days.
Do you have any regrets for this life you built out here?
No, not at all. I didn't regret this.
Klein has some health issues now, so it's a little tough to hear him. If he didn't catch it, he said, how could you regret this?
Do you think more people could do this type of life, or do you feel like you're unique?
If you want to do this, go buy a piece of land. If you're really serious, I'll help you. Okay. It's a blessing.
With a small plot of land, Klein says anyone could do this, but you'll need help, people who can teach you the skills you'll need to survive. He also said if I'm serious, he'd help, but he'd need a letter from my psychiatrist. Though, I'm not sure if he means only someone with some level of mental illness would try to live off the land, as he has done, or if it takes someone who is taking care of their mental health. Later, as I reflect more on this, I decide maybe he means both. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd.
One story is probably not going to answer such a big question. What do you think? Could West Virginia be self-sustaining? What would that look like? What's your vision? We'd love to keep this conversation going. Send us an email to insideappalachia@wvpublic.org or tweet us at inappalachia.